Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Artists Helping Artists. We are the number one art show on Blog Talk Radio. This is Leslie Seda in South Pasadena, and I have my co-host Margaret Sheldon on the line in no longer snowing but very probably icy and icky Boston. Correct?
Well, we had something else happen. Last night we got, anyone who's from New England knows the dreaded wintry mix. And last night I was driving home from something and it was sort of raining, and then the rain sort of got, I can only say the drops got fatter. And the time I got home, it was full on wet snowing. And sure, woke up to another inch of snow just sort of covering everything this morning. And it's beautiful. It is absolutely beautiful, but enough. I've had enough.
Wow.
I'm done. I know. Wow. It's light so much later in the day, and it just makes me feel so much more energetic.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's more snow, and you think, oh, okay. Tell me how beautiful
enough already.
Sunny it is where you are.
Which
is the sun shining?
Understand. Pardon?
Is the sun shining?
I'm not going to say, because it'll just make
you
sad.
No, it makes me happy to know it's shining somewhere.
It's been in the, like, mid-70s, but tomorrow, just so you know, we're going to get, like, 4 inches of rain in 2 days. So just Southern California and its extreme temperatures. It's either really hot, really cold, or raining like we've never seen. I mean, we got more rain one day last month than we did in the entire year before.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, but, you know, I have one of those days today where, like, every minute is slotted out. I was just outside trying to hang stuff in my studio because I have a client coming over who just finished a remodel and needs a bunch of art. Then I got a call from a retail store in town yesterday. I'm going over there to meet her. I'm going to visit my parents. I mean, it's just like so many crazy things that I have to get done. And if I get them all done, it'll be a bloody miracle.
Wait a minute. You had a retail store reach out to you for artwork?
Yeah. Yeah.
You do live... not only a sunny but charmed life. You do know that.
Well, here's what I was telling. I was explaining these two appointments to my husband because I said, that's kind of weird. They both reached out to me. I didn't reach out to them. Is that a bad sign? And he goes, no, honey. All that marketing you're doing on social media is paying off.
He's
and
right.
And it kind of happens when you least expect it. So
yeah,
that is really cool. Really, really
well,
cool.
Great. Good for you. So. You'll have to report and tell us how it all went.
Yeah, I'm excited.
And whether or not you got everything done.
Well, I kind of had a lot of details I had to get done this week, and I'm pleased to say I did launch my art marketing boot camps on Monday morning, and I have four of them scheduled. The first one is actually in March in Waco, Texas, and I'm so excited for that. I mean, it's just a magical place. And I rented the Harp House, which if you watch the show, Clint Harp, who's their contractor, has a home that was redone by Chip and Joanna on the first season. And what is so cool about his house, not only the fact that it's next door to his shop in this really great retail store that he has, but it's like a mile from Magnolia Market and the Silos. And where we stayed last year was like a half an hour. And this is just such a much better location. Restaurants are close by. I mean, we did a lot of driving. And this I'm just so incredibly excited about. A little bit bigger house, and it's just going to be amazing. And then my next boot camp.
Wait a second
go ahead.
Now. How many students are you taking in Waco?
That one is 8 total.
Great. Okay. Just wanted to imagine it.
I know. After that, I go to Lake Oconee, which is about an hour and 10 minutes outside of beautiful Atlanta. And
wonderful.
I'm using a family member's lake house. It's right on the lake. It's gorgeous. And it's just going to be amazing. And it's a large house, so we can actually hold 12. And then after that, we're going to Ventura in the summertime, beachy weather. To our beach house, which will be great. And then my last boot camp scheduled for now, and probably for the year, is in Cape Cod. Oh, darn. And if you haven't seen the house I rented in West Hyannisport, you got to look at it. It's 4,500 square feet. It's right on the water. It's amazing. It's gorgeous.
It's amazing. And I keep telling Leslie that there are some pretty great things to do around there. Four Seas Ice Cream, just... if you're going to Hyannisport, you have to go to Four Seas Ice Cream.
I promise.
And yeah, that is going to be fun. Don't be surprised if I pop in just to see you, because you're going to have a ball at that one.
I can't wait. I'm
really
excited.
All good things going on.
And Margaret was my, you know, big. She was the one who said, "Talk to me first before you book something."
I know.
And I was like, "What about this? What about that?" And then I sent her and showed her what I rented, and she's like, "You did good, Leslie."
You did that. Good job. Good job. No, you picked it. The house looks beautiful, but that's a really great part of the Cape, and especially for anybody who's seen the movie Jackie, which I highly recommend, with Natalie Portman as Jackie Kennedy Onassis. You know, that's they did do some filming in Hyannisport, which is where the Kennedy compound is, and there's just lots of history, and it's just a beautiful part of the Cape. You did a great job. You found a great house in a great part of town. So,
thank you.
You're
going to
have fun.
And that's going to be in September, which will be probably amazing weather. So I'm very excited. Before we get started, I want to read an email that I received yesterday. Because, you know, every once in a while, you get one of those awesome emails. And I'm thinking, I just want to let you know that listening to the show, participating in the 30 and 30, doing things can actually make a huge difference on your life as an artist. And this came from Maggie Greenway, and I've got her permission to read this on the air.
Oh, good.
It says, "Hi, Leslie. I just wanted to write and thank you for hosting the 30 and 30 and for the wealth of information on the AHA show. I'm a full-time mom and a part-time artist, returning to painting after about 15 years and selling my art now for the first time. I sold my first painting in mid-December 2016 and jumped into the 30 and 30, which was in January, in hopes of creating 30 small studies to use as references for a few landscapes for my home. I painted daily and posted to Instagram and Facebook. Partway in, friends and family began requesting to purchase, which sent me scrambling to price my little works. By the end, 7 had new homes without my even trying to sell them. Since then, I've had a few requests for commissions and even began playing around with small abstracts with leftover paint on my palette. 2 of those have sold. Each week, I probably listen to about 3 of your shows, especially enjoying the conversations with artists. Through them, I feel like I'm soaking up artistic and marketing knowledge like crazy. I thought I'd be a fish out of water as a mom in the sophisticated art world. You and your hosts make me feel like I fit in and inspire me to dream bigger than I have. Thank you for the positive tone on the show and making this crazy adventure I'm on feel doable." And then she said, "My art career has officially launched, and I'm so excited. Honestly, it wouldn't have happened without your show and the 30 and 30. And next on her agenda is to make a Weebly website and complete her Facebook fan page." Doesn't that make everything we do, all the time we spend writing these shows worthwhile? Isn't that amazing?
Yes. Isn't that great? You know, I have to tell you, we should all say thank you to the people that do things that, you know, mean a lot to us, because it's so easy to think thank you, but it's much harder
That's
to write it.
Point.
And it kind of inspires me to maybe do that, because it does make a difference. What a great letter. How kind
Isn't
of her.
Isn't that nice? I responded and I said, "Maggie, you made my day." Thank you so much. And she was so
I
cute.
Will do the show tomorrow.
And I said, and I had actually just finished the show notes, so it was like, that wasn't that bad of 2 hours to spend. But I said, you know, "Is there any way I could read this on the show?" And she's like, "Oh my gosh, you made my day." So that was really awesome.
Oh, what a sweetheart.
I know.
Artists are the nicest people.
Oh, 100%.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm just going to tell you this. I was at a dinner last night with a few friends and their daughters, and this younger chorus came up with, "Hey, how come you didn't do the 30 and 30? I said, "How do you guys know whether or not I did it this time or not?"
Busted, honey. Busted.
And one girl said, "Because I like reading those blogs and seeing the paintings every day." And these are non-artists, but you know, young women in their 20s who actually go on there and they do look at, you know, everyone's paintings. So I just want to say the audience is beyond what we might imagine. I mean, they're quiet about it, but they're looking.
Yeah.
So there you go.
And it's kind of this thing that's self-perpetuating. When you paint 30 paintings, it means you're posting a painting every day, which means more people see it and more people look forward to it and more buyers are out there. And the whole thing just is kind of this big rolling machine that gets better and better and better. And, that's pretty cool.
That's a good time for me to ask you, when is the next 30 and 30?
September. Yeah, it's always January and September. I've been pretty religious. So you have that many months to think about doing it, my friend.
Oh, don't worry.
I'll tell you a funny story. The gal that called me from the retail store said, oh, my gosh, we looked at your page of all the paintings you did from dresses. And is there any way we have a new collection coming in, you would do a painting that is for, you know, like one of those dresses? I'm like, of course I would.
That is a great idea. Well, if that doesn't inspire everyone to get going.
Yeah.
That was a great story. Good for you.
So today's show is called Steps to Starting a New Blog. And I created my first blog. Do you have a blog, Margaret? I can't remember.
I do. And in fact, last night I was busted for not posting. So guess what I have to get back on? And what's the kicker? I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I enjoy writing my blog almost as much as I enjoy painting. I just really do. And so shame on me.
Interesting. Yes. Well, you're a good writer, so of course you would.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Got to get
back. Of course you would. So anyway, I started mine, I don't even know. It was a long time ago, with Blogger. Is yours with Blogger?
No, I started right off the block with Weebly.
Oh, good for you. And Blogger worked for me for a long time, and there were some glitches along the way trying to set up FeedBurner, which is what I use to have all my subscribers get an email every day. And every blog post, almost every single one, kind of was like this. It was a picture of my painting, and it said, here's the painting I finished today. It's 12 by 12, and it's available, and then there was a link where you could buy it. And that was it. And then Facebook and Instagram came along, and I became bored with my blog. And the reason was I was repeating the same thing on my blog that was on Facebook. And on Facebook, I received instant feedback. And lots of you get likes, you get comments, there's interaction. And on my blog, you don't – not too many people comment. They just don't.
They read
and
it.
And so – I started blogging less and less, and I was way more into posting my paintings on Facebook. So I kind of had this, and I've talked about this on the show, so I apologize if you're bored with the story, but end of 2015, I was like, okay, you have to, whatever, or cut bait.
So I was like,
I either have to revamp it or I'm going to get rid of it. And I thought, that's crazy. I've got like 2,000 people following my blog, and I've worked a long time to build that up. That makes no sense. So I decided to revamp my blog. I moved off Blogger and put my blog on Weebly. I took all my followers and carried them over, which was nice. And I just decided I needed to talk about something I was more passionate about, and that was my life as an artist, not just my paintings. And my new blog is way more much fun. And I decided this week I'm going to start another blog.
I love it.
And so
but you've got something
else
to say, right? I mean, isn't that the point? Like, you can do more than one blog if you have more than one kind of subject matter.
Yeah. And it's going to be more of a lifestyle blog. That's more about, it's called My 100-Year-Old Home. And even though my house is 102, it's still over 100. And it's just all about that whole side of me, the decorating and the DIY projects and all that stuff and this whole farmhouse thing that I'm completely like addicted to after my 30 in January, and how I'm making some changes and recommendations, and it's just going to be all about that. And I know the silly Ray Dunn pottery that I love so much that you totally don't get, which you told me yesterday, and I completely understand. But
I didn't say I didn't like it. It's just not my style.
You quote unquote, I just don't get it, I think is what you said.
Yeah, it's just not appealing to me.
So I guess my point is for today's show, I know everyone listening to the show has something to say. And so this show is for those of you that have never had a blog, or those of you that maybe have a blog that's at that point where it needs a little bit of fine tuning. And we're going to give you a lot of recommendations, and hopefully by the end of the show you'll be convinced that this is a really good idea, because blogging is different now. It's really different than it was back when most of us started, and it's a really great opportunity to talk about your art or whatever. So anyway, and I have a new intern who worked for a woman who, you know, has like a couple million followers on her blog, and she's amazing. So.
If only it was ethical to borrow that list.
I know. It was fashion, though, so it wouldn't work.
I know. Well, good. Well, these things do grow kind of organically a little bit, but you can certainly help it out. And I think one of the things when we were considering this topic is that, from my point of view, as artists, there's so many things that you could do, very few things that you really have to do, but you know, the options are all there. And a good blog is it's worth its weight in gold in terms of keeping people interested in you. So when you ask yourself, like, why would I want to blog? I think today the answers have changed. And so we're going to talk a little bit about the reasons that you might want to consider doing this. Probably the most popular reason to start a blog is because you can make some money on it. Now, I am not going to tell you that everyone out there is going to start, you know, getting a check to deposit regularly, but a lot of people, I mean, there are thousands of bloggers who actually earn full-time income by blogging. There's no question that making money with a blog is really hard work, but sort of the cost to enter into it, you know, that barrier of startup costs is very low.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have no risk here. You can just sort of enter into it as sort of carefully and slowly as you like. Maybe you just sort of send it out to friends and family to begin with or something so that you can sort of get their feedback. But this is nothing anyone should be afraid of. The second reason, besides just making money on your blog, I think every artist has a story to tell. And, you know, if you want to write and share your story, I think a blog is a great way to let other people know what it is that sort of you are passionate about.
Oh, yeah.
Think of it as, you know, they come to it. You don't stand on a soapbox. It's sort of a very sort of user-friendly way to share your story.
Mm-hmm.
But the third reason to consider doing a blog is you really will find more collectors, people who are interested in buying your art. I mean, a blog is a great way to sort of show what it is you're doing out there. I mean, Leslie, your answer when someone tells you that they're not selling art, this is like drilled into my brain. Your answer is always there just aren't enough people seeing it.
Yeah.
And I think a blog is a great way to sort of share a little of yourself and your art with people who are out there looking for it.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree more.
I think we're going to share some steps to how you actually go about starting a blog.
We've got five steps. And they're pretty obvious, but we're going to go into each one in more detail. But the first one is decide what to blog about. And obviously that's really important. Then you have to choose a blogging platform, and that's the program on the Internet. Some are free, some are not, but whatever program you're going to use, that's basically a template to help you set up your blog. Then you have to find a host, and that's the pretty much what the company that hosts your blog out on the Internet so everyone can see it. Obviously, you need to pick a domain name. A lot of people pick the domain name first, but I highly suggest you kind of go through this process.
That's a good point. Then
you have to design your blog, and then you have to use your blog. So the first thing is decide what to blog about. And as an artist, you may think this step will be the easiest to determine, but you have to be careful because there may be something that you want to talk about, but is what you want to talk about what your audience wants to hear? And you have to make sure whatever you write about is interesting. So you have to think, okay, if I'm going to write about, I don't know, how I mix oil paints. I mean, that's probably too specific. But whatever it is that you want to talk about, you have to make sure it's something your customers will want to hear. And I'm sure your blog would be about art. I mean, that kind of makes sense. But don't make the mistake that I did and just overstate the obvious. And that was all those years of just posting my painting and saying, here's my painting. Because I was doing that also on Facebook. And most people, a lot of people were following me in both both places, and it just kind of was, I think, boring. Mm-hmm. So you want to write about something having to do with your art, not just your art. So maybe it's you're blogging about something you really enjoy. Maybe you're blogging about something with plenty of room for discussion. Because if the more mm-hmm. people you can draw in and comments you can get, the better. And most importantly, try to choose a niche in which you can establish yourself as an authority. And so don't blog about something so technical where you have to do research every time you want to write a blog post. That would be hard.
Right.
And the
true.
Goal for any blog is to become the go-to resource for whatever topic you're talking. So you want to, ideally, over time, you want your blog to be the place where people literally go and listen and read what you have to do. Mm-hmm. I have two blogs. Now, when I changed my blog that I was doing for my art, the new name was Everyday Life of a Working Artist. And then I mentioned my new blog is my 100-year-old home. So it's just a really fun process. And I don't know. I think that it's there's so much potential for you to talk about something about your art. And the more of a conversation you have, the more people get to know you and the more they want to buy your art. Because we all know people love buying art from people that they know. It's really important.
Right. And if there's a story that goes with it, it makes it just that much more interesting.
Yes.
You know, the whole sort of, you know, imagination comes into play.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I agree. All right. So step number two, we've already said you need to choose a blogging platform. Now, there are so many blogging options available. You can look around. You can ask other artists. You can even sometimes look at the bottom of the page
mm-hmm.
of a blog that you really like the look of or whatever and see what the platform is. But, you know, some are free and some are not. And you need to really sort of look into that and decide, you know, what you're willing to pay. I love when Leslie makes her, you know, if you buy coffee every day, you can give it up and pay for some of these little things that will enrich your life.
You don't have
but
to give up coffee just to make it yourself.
Make it at home, right, right.
Well, I would
so
never say give up coffee.
I know, I'm sitting here with mine.
Me too.
But here's the thing. You know, Blogger was big at the beginning, and honestly, I wonder if it wasn't because the name made it really clear what it was all about. But
mm-hmm.
right now, it feels a little outdated to me. I mean, I don't want anybody to quote me because things, you know, may be getting better or you may find that it just suits you fine. And if it works for you, terrific. But I think your first option should be whoever's hosting your website. If you can keep everything in one place, it makes it so much easier. I don't want to sound like I'm doing an ad for Weebly, but somebody was sort of saying, oh, you know, I don't know. I don't think I would post every day or even regularly if I had a blog that I was trying to maintain. And I held up my phone and I said, you know what? There are many days where I will just do it all right here. I can snap the photo of a painting in progress. I can open up the mobile Weebly site, and I'm able to, and I know the other platforms have a similar thing, I'm able to do it all from my phone, and if you put a clock on me, it takes me under 5 minutes, and I'll bet it takes me under four. So, you know, if you can keep everything in one place, I know a lot of people use, you know, everything related to Squarespace, there's a lot of them out there. WordPress, for a long time, WordPress was sort of really red hot, and I know it's still popular.
It's more popular
now,
it
believe it or
so
not.
Good.
What was that?
Yeah, it's more popular.
See, and you know, here's the thing. This is a lot like comparing sort of the space shuttle, which might be, you know, WordPress, to a paper airplane, which is something like Blogger. You kind of need to sort of figure out how much you need and what fits your style. I'm not about to say what's easiest for me is going to be the easiest one for someone else. But, you know, take a look and see what's offered. And certainly when you compare the price point, you know, how much you'll be paying monthly, that might help you. I usually find that's very helpful in having me choose what I want to use when it comes to, you know, sort of making a decision like this. But they're easy, easy, easy to research.
Yeah.
And as always, ask around.
So true.
That's a reason to go to a workshop. You can just ask everyone. 20 artists in a room. Tell me what you use and why.
But, oh, yeah. So true. So the next thing you have to do is pick a domain name. And a domain name is like a web address if you don't know what it is. Like sadastudio.com is my domain name. Mm-hmm. And you may or may not already have one. I bought the new domain for my blog, and it's called www.my100yearoldhome.com. And it cost me $9.99, which is kind of cool. And one of the things that's cool about having a domain name is you can either have a website associated exactly with that name, or you can point it somewhere. So if I build my website on Weebly, the domain name will probably for that be www.sadastudio.com/my100yearoldhome. Well, come on, that's crazy. I can buy the domain name, my 100-year-old home, and point that directly to the page on my website. And it's an invisible forwarding. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so when you click on it, it takes you there.
Exactly.
There's no extra steps in there. Yeah.
Yeah, which is pretty cool. So there's so many companies out there where you can buy a domain. I have a tendency, if I'm building it on Weebly, I will most likely buy it on Weebly because it's just one less step I have to do. But everyone's heard of GoDaddy. And there's a million others. And it's just one of those things that all you have to do is kind of figure out who your audience is going to be. And then, as Margaret said, figure out, you know, what's your domain name and what do you want to, you know, what do you want to explain it? Don't make it too hard. Think about words in the domain that will be great when it comes to people doing web searches. So
that's right.
Ideally, you know, even if you're just starting out your website and you're an artist, 100% put your name in there. That's so important. So important. So it's kind of exciting, but that's easy.
Yeah.
That takes 5 minutes to do.
Question here, the $9.99.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You really sort of rent your domain name, don't you? Because those renew maybe in 2 or 3 years. Is that right?
It depends. It's cheaper if you buy the domain for multiple years.
Okay.
I usually, when I'm first starting out, just buy it for like 1 year. And then after that, but it's like, I think I paid $9.99. And what's kind of cool, even if you find a domain that you can't, find it at .com, now they have not only .org and .net, there's like 20 other .dot something that you can use.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like .works, .write. I mean, all these very different. So a lot of people, I just wanted to keep it easy, but going to, you know, .net is easy to do. That's simple.
Except you will spend a lot of time telling people that that's .net, not .com.
Yeah.
That's the only reason to try hard
very true.
To make .com work. Yeah. All right. So after you've got your platform and your domain name, you're going to need to find a host. Now, the host provides server space for your site. So very simply put, this allows people out there to find your site on the Internet. So if you use your website to host your blog, then it's most likely you won't need to engage a host. You know, it's kind of already rolled into the package. But if you, let's say you don't have a website yet and you just want to start blogging, then you're going to need to find a host, which means, remember, this is like the place where it lives on the Internet. I don't think we're going to suggest a blogging platform just because there are so many out there. And if you buy a domain name, then there's, as Leslie likes to say, 100% chance that they're going to offer
100%
hosting
chance,
services as well. It's true. You know, it's sort of like one-stop shopping if you need it to be. The question you're going to have once you get into this process is whether or not you should choose to purchase any of the extras. And here's the deal. I think, Leslie, you and I both skip the other add-ons except the one that's labeled Domain Privacy Protection. And the reason for that is this protection keeps any personal information private, which we all know that when we sign on for things, that's something that you've got to be concerned with when you're on the Internet. So you kind of ensure this. The only time I would skip domain privacy is if you're using a business address and you don't mind if it's visible to anybody who's going to look up your domain.
Mm-hmm.
If you're using your personal contact information, like your home address or your phone number, anything like that, to register your domain, then we highly recommend you go ahead and get domain privacy. Leslie, I know you just bought a domain for the website you designed for your, what was it, your high school reunion? I'm not even going to say what number.
Yeah, my 40th high school reunion.
Good girl.
So now everyone knows exactly how old I am.
Ah, but you look 38.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But, and didn't you forget to choose the domain privacy option?
I did.
You told me you're getting tons of calls on your cell phone.
Everyone
wants you to upgrade your website.
I know.
I don't. You have, you know what? That's a good test, though, because you didn't have domain privacy. Look what you're dealing with. That's
mm-hmm.
a good reason for everyone to just go ahead and slap that extra on. The others, you can always go back and upgrade. Trust me, they will always take more money from you. But I think the domain privacy is one that everybody should just automatically go ahead and put onto their package.
Yes. So true. Okay, the last step in kind of getting this all put together is obviously designing and using your blog. And first off, you have to know who your audience is. And this is a conversation you have to have with yourself even when you're deciding what you want your blog to be about. I mean, if you teach workshops, you may decide that you want to gear your blog toward potential art students. If you paint plein air, you might want to gear your blog to plein air painters or something, you know, my journey painting outdoors, and you know, you can put all the funny stories of things that have happened and
equipment.
Tips and I mean, there's so many things you can talk about. And so now that you know who your audience is, you have to obviously start posting on it, and you have to design your blog. And this is kind of the point where, if you already have a blog, this is probably where you would start and what we've talked about. And that is, okay, am I talking what I need to talk to the audience that I want to reach? Am I enjoying my blog? Is this fun? Do I have something to say? Am I posting too little? Am I posting too much? I mean, there's all those questions that you can ask yourself and you know, be honest. Because I knew, I mean, I still had a lot of followers, but, oh, man, I was so bored with my blog a little over a year ago. And so I would suggest that you outline your first 20 blog posts, and you're probably thinking that's insane. But I will tell you, being ahead on your blog post, because you can, every browser or every web product you use for your blog gives you the ability to schedule in advance.
Right.
And not having that pressure is so important. And I have, in the Notes app on my phone, I have a title that's called Blog Topics. And I may think of something when I'm at the car wash. And, you know, I should mention I never go to the car wash, and I always make it sound like I do tons of stuff there. But anyway, or when I'm in line at the post office, whatever it may be.
You don't
but
go there either.
I know. No, actually, sadly, I do. I have about 30 new blog topics on my phone at any given time. And I also have one for AHA show topics as well. So it's really important to just be always thinking. I had a conference call with my intern last night. Oh, my gosh. She is crazy brilliant. And she has I can't remember the name of what she called it. It's called where is it? It's like I'm going to look at the email because she sent me an email last night with suggestions. It's called an editorial calendar. And that is basically a document that you have that you list. You basically plan out at least a month in advance what your blog topics are going to be. And you may do the same topic for the whole week. You may post once a week. It depends what you do. I post 5 days a week. And having this editorial calendar gives you the opportunity to just be so much more organized. And I'm really excited about this. It's going to help me a lot. Because I hate that 10 o'clock at night staring at my computer going, oh, I have to get my blog post done by midnight. What am I going to write about?
What am I going to write about? That's right.
And that's just not planning right. So.
Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with a short blog post either.
I agree.
I want to throw that in off the top of my head. Sometimes, you know, you can put up an image and just a very short paragraph, and that's, if it's interesting, it's more valuable than, you know, a page and a half of rambling. So, yeah, people should feel free to play with that.
I have some of those on my blog.
Yeah. But I like the idea of an editorial calendar. Just even saying that makes me think, oh, I need that. Yeah. So
yeah.
How do you know what topics your audience wants to read about? Well, that's a really good question, because you both want to surprise them with your creativity and satisfy their yearning for knowledge. So you need to think about it. If you already have a blog or you're just starting one, then chances are you probably have some sort of idea about the topics that your particular audience is interested in. If not on a really specific level, then at least on a sort of industry or topic-wide level. For example, you might know for sure your audience is interested in learning more about best business practices, but you might not know what a specific challenges that they're facing, and that maybe, for instance, they might want to figure out how to keep their team engaged. Whatever it is, you know, they might want to figure out how to schedule their, you know, tax payments. They might want to figure out how to sort of control inventory, but you can sort of give some thought to it because you know that what they're trying to figure out is how to have a successful business.
Mm-hmm.
And chances are you've got some information you can share.
And what Margaret's saying is, if you help the people reading your blog solve a problem that they have, then they're going to come back. And so what I try to do in my everyday life as a working artist is I share a lot of specific tips on things. And it's, you know, tips on blogging, tips on things in my studio, and, you know, a lot of stuff, apps, and a lot of things that I absolutely love and use. And it just makes my life easier. And I feel like that's what's making my blog valuable, is I'm sharing that information. And that's what you really have to do. And so if you're still struggling on who is my audience and what they want to, you know, learn about, the easiest way to get started is ask them. Find out what they're struggling with. Go on Facebook and say, hey, you know, what, as an artist, what do you struggle with most? And you're going to see some things that are going to be very similar. The only problem that has is once people start posting, then people go, oh, yeah, that is my, and maybe that wasn't their first and most important thing, but because they saw it, they agree with it. But you can kind of filter through that. And ask them what they wish they knew more about, or what would help them improve their business, or what would make their life easier.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you know that, then you want to create this editorial calendar or a schedule for your blogging. You have to decide how often you're going to blog. 5 days a week is not really recommended because it's a huge commitment. And I don't think once a week is enough, but 2 or 3 days a week I think is great. And what you want to do is schedule in your, you don't have to publish this, but write out Monday, Wednesday, and Friday and decide, okay, every Monday I'm going to share something that happens in my studio that still addresses this issue that artists want to know about. And then every Wednesday I'm going to share a step-by-step demo of a painting I've done. And then every Friday you're going to do something else. And you don't have to tell your audience your plan, but it's going to help you, and it's going to be so much easier for you to write your posts. And it makes all the difference in the world, because it gives you more direction, and it's a lot easier to plan out what you're going to do, say, for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. And, you know, I think a lot of the things that successful bloggers blog about is something that, like, a problem that they've solved for themselves, because obviously that's what gives you the expertise.
Yeah.
And the truth is, if you've discovered a problem, either you can be sure other people have it and are wondering how to, you know, sort of remedy it, or if they haven't come across it yet, they will. And maybe you can save your readers a lot of time and heartache by sort of laying it out for them based on your own knowledge. Those are the ones that I love reading.
Yeah.
So the next question really should come down to, I hate to go right to the visual, but here we are. What should the blog look like? And this is not as hard a question as you might think. And I have to say that all of these hosts, or wherever you decide to, you know, sort of design your blog, they usually will offer very easy-to-use templates. And you can start simple. Changing it is easy. But,
yeah.
But, you know, it's not as if you have to figure out how to write code. Trust me, I'll show you 100 images, and you can pick the one that you think is the most attractive to your eye.
Mm-hmm.
Really, it just comes down to doing some research. You find some blogs that you really like, that are easy to read and that appeal to you, and go ahead and use the same format. I did that, and I found, you know, I think this is common right now, but blogs have really, well, images on the Internet have evolved, and right now what's appealing is a very clean, almost modern look, you know, clean it out. A lot of visual clutter is just going to get in the way. A white background is a must. If
yeah.
you even come across a blog or a website, for that matter, that's got a black background, number one, nobody can read those white letters on it, really.
Or red, or yellow, or even harder.
Right? It just
yeah.
looks so dated. It looks
yeah.
very dated.
Very dated.
You want to look really like you're, you know, on trend. And I don't mean that in a disparaging way. But, you know, there's a reason that cars get redesigned. There's a reason that, you know, it's just the way of the world. And, you know, you can use gray lettering. You can use lots of images. I have to tell you, number one, if I could say nothing else, if you wrote only one sentence, a really good image, a beautiful image, something that's clear and brilliant is a must, because that's
yeah.
the first thing people are going to see before they read a single word. And, you know, if you keep it clean and you keep it simple and you use really high-quality images, and I don't mean that you have to go out and get a fancy camera. I do not. Truly, your phone will do just fine as long as you're careful and you use, I think it's important to take photographs with almost an editorial eye, or at least to, when you're looking at your photographs, to choose one to put on your blog. Choose one that is really the best photo you have, because that is going to make your whole blog more successful and a lot more pleasant to read.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is so true. And I tell you, my first website, dark background.
Mm. Well,
and someone very early on who was totally working in social media for a company told me, Leslie, it has to be light. And I'm like, oh, she's so wrong. What does she know? Boy,
this is more designing.
I know. What the heck was I thinking? I thought my paintings looked better. And at the time, it wasn't as offensive as I had it now. But I tell you, that white, clean background, you want people, when they arrive on your site, and or your blog, to just have that sense of ah and serenity and ooh, I want to stay here. And they may
that's
not,
right.
you may they may
that,
not understand. Pardon?
No, I was going to say, you know, we're artists. Everything we do should be aesthetically beautiful.
Yeah, because the last thing you want to do is turn somebody off, and they may not even know why they don't like your site. But it's not your art; it's because you have a dark background. I know it sounds weird, but. Anyway, so we're going to share this really interesting thing I found on an amazing website called smartblogger.com. I highly suggest
mm-hmm.
you follow that blog. And it's the topic is 12 blogging mistakes that make you look like a world-class idiot. I would never quite be that harsh if I wrote this. And there are 12 warning signs to watch for just to make sure you never get blindsided. I love this first one because I never got this memo, and it's holding back the good stuff. And I'm always sharing, as you know, my deep, darkest secrets.
You share everything.
Because
thank
no one
God.
Ever told me not to.
It's a mistake to hold it back.
Yeah, well, the writing here says, do you ever feel like some of your ideas are just too valuable to give away for free on your blog? You'd rather package them up in an ebook or an audio course and transform them into your flagship product. Huge mistake. If you
mm-hmm.
don't offer real value from the get-go, no one will ever talk about your blog and it'll never grow. You'll be holding on to those ideas forever. And so the better approach they recommend is pretend like everyone is paying you to write and make every blog post worth at least $100 in your mind. make it so astonishingly valuable they can't help but talk about it. And then you can think up something else to sell later. But I love that idea. If you're writing your blog,
I experienced it. Yep.
Is that amazing? It's such a fabulous idea. Yeah,
all right.
My
daughter and I have been looking at a lot of calligraphers because, you know, we're working on this wedding thing. And
yeah.
I came across this one blog, and I'll even tell you, it's the Postman Knox. And I called my daughter and I said, I can't believe this blog, this girl's site. And she said, oh, isn't she great? And I said, she gives away so much. And my daughter said, I was wondering how she monetizes that. I have a kid in marketing, right? And
mm-hmm.
I want you to know, I go back to that site at least twice a week, if not more. And I have clicked, you know, she sells little short video lessons because I find that what she gives away is so valuable that I can't wait to see what it is she charges for. It's the smartest thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it suggests confidence in what you're talking about.
Exactly. And if what you're saying really offers no new information or no value, got to dig a little deeper.
Yeah, right. That's a good point. All right. The second mistake is if all you're thinking about is money. Now, that's a really good point, because I think as readers, we can tell what's going on.
Yes.
So here we go. I'm just going to say, just as the Predator cartoon character visualizes its cute furry prey as a piece of steak, we've all seen that.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of a blogger sees their reader simply as like a source of money, an ATM.
Right.
Big mistake. Big mistake. Your blog is nothing more than an ongoing pitch fest. This is the person who wants to sell their great content. They won't give anything away for free. They're constantly pitching their latest ebook or e-course. And this is just, it's a bad practice. It's not a good idea. And we're going to tell you why. Selling anything online or in person is all about trust. If all you're doing is pitching, people are not going to trust you, and they're going to write you off as just another kind of sleazy internet marketer. It's true. I mean,
I'm laughing because I totally agree.
And we go right by them.
Yeah.
You should first offer advice and insight, and as you say, help them solve a problem, make a difference. Kind of be entertaining, you know, if that's your.
Uh-oh, Margaret, are you there?
Yes.
Oh, wait, we lost you for about 5 seconds, so go ahead.
No kidding.
Yeah. Oof.
Well, first, offer insight. We said advice and a solution to their problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
You want to make a difference, and you want, if it's your style, to entertain your reader a little bit.
Yes.
People then want to buy from you, and you're just not going to have to do that much selling if you've already won their trust.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Have a look.
I love that. Okay, and here is another mistake, and that's making empty promises. Is your blog post promising to help the reader to make an extra $5,000? It's kind of like the, you can lose 50 pounds. I mean, there's no way. You're like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, next.
And so you have to be careful about making those, those like sleazy sales pitchy kind of things.
Yeah.
And one of the things I love about Facebook is when you do an ad, if you do anything like that, your ad will get rejected. And I did an ad, I can't remember. It was like a month ago. And my ad got rejected. And I was like, oh, how can my ad be rejected? And I just copied a headline from a post I'd done on Facebook. And I think I wrote something like, you know, do you want to learn how to, you know, increase your audience? And then in the description, I wrote some specifics, and they were like, no, it's, you know, you can't promise that much. And I'm like, I didn't promise anything. But I love the fact that they're so cautious about that kind of thing. I really do, because I hate those, you know, make $100,000 on your blog. I mean, come on, really?
We don't need junk advertising. Yeah.
Yeah. You really have to be able to back it up. And anything you put on your blog, with any kind of promise, you have to give step-by-step guides to making it happen. I mean, as much as we do that on the show, we never say, oh, you're going to make $50,000 on your blog this year. We couldn't do that. It makes no sense. We just want to give you all the tools to make you as successful as possible.
I mean, when you have a free show like Artists Helping Artists, it's kind of clear that you're not trying to make money.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
I love it.
And during the early days on the internet, you might have been able to get away with kind of that cotton candy content, as this article says. And now, though, people expect real meat and potatoes. You know, this is why you have to read smartblogger.com. These words just make me laugh. So be careful of what you promise. If you make a big promise, back it up with advice people can take action on immediately. You know, I just decided my blog post for tomorrow is going to be how I handled this woman who called me who finished a remodel and wants to meet with me today to look at my art.
Oh, that's good one. Everybody's going to know about that. Yeah.
I know. Isn't that? I was like, I'm just sitting here thinking, what's my blog post for tomorrow? But that's what it's going to be. So otherwise, people will unsubscribe from your blog, and they might even stop by your comment section and leave you a few choice words if it's too pitchy.
Right. Too self-serving. It's just obnoxious.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So true.
Well, let's go into the fourth mistake, because this is an interesting one, and that is not being worthy of the crowd. Now, what that means is imagine you're about to deliver your next post in person, and you're in a packed conference hall with like 5,000 people. And, you know, maybe you're nervously waiting behind the curtains and the stage manager's whispering something in your ear and your palms are sweaty and your heart is pounding and, you know, your mouth is dry. They call your name and the curtains open and you're just like a scared rabbit. There are bright lights and there's music and there's applause, and then the crowd falls silent and you're standing behind the microphone, center stage. Everyone is watching you. Everyone's waiting to hear what you say. If this was your arena, if you were no longer like invisible writing a blog, how much effort would you put into it? And how much harder would you prepare and research and write and edit your posts? You know, what would you do to make sure that you had a really well-crafted sentence structure and punctuation and maybe even like pauses so that you would get the right tone and, you know, certain flow to your speech and rhythm?
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what you need to be doing with every post you write.
Yeah.
Then you're going to get the results. And I want to say, this doesn't mean it has to be overdone, but I do think it can't be slapdash. And if you don't interest and kind of hook your audience at that first opportunity, the first time they read you, they're gone. They are not going to come back. Think about this metaphor with the audience. Everyone has just, you know, paid money while online. They've just spent their time, which is precious to them, to look at your blog. If you disappoint them and you have nothing of interest, you will never get them back. So you really need to take that opportunity and kind of respect your reader.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the next mistake, number five, is being bored. This was me.
That was
you. If you're bored with your writing, your audience will be bored by it too. If you no longer feel passionate and excited about your topic, you might be running low on creative energy. And the only way to fix that is to allow that energy to recharge. Take a break. And I know you want to get to the finish line early, but you need a break to get excited again. Otherwise, your readers will sense your boredom, and they're going to be bored too, and they will go away.
Right.
And we can't be doing that, which is so true. And if you're bored with your blog, it needs a revamp. You need a break. It's just not it's not that hard to do. And I truly do mean that, because it's not the end of the world. Don't go completely away. Maybe if you were blogging 5 days a week, maybe blog 2 days a week for a while.
Yeah.
Or just say, hey, I'm taking a break. Be back in 2 weeks. Revamping my blog. Whatever.
Yeah. And look at some of the blogs that you love, or the ones that are wildly successful, and see what is it that you are returning to those four. And maybe
mm-hmm.
you can figure out a way to inject a little of that energy into your own writing.
So true.
Yep. Well, this kind of goes right on the heels of the last mistake. I love that we're listing mistakes, but this one is waffling on and on and on. You know, I don't know. Maybe it's because, you know, I went to school with some pretty strict grammar teachers and writing teachers, but why on earth say something in 10 words when you can impress with 50? That seems to be what a whole lot of folks are thinking out there. They come up with the most flourished writing. They ramble on and on. And basically, what they're doing is they just love the sound of their own voice. And if this is you, if you recognize yourself in this, you know, I can assure you, you're going to end up repeating yourself by pretty much saying the same thing over and over. I mean, maybe you change it slightly, but you're not offering any new information. You know, this is the person who adds unnecessary details into their writing. You know, there's no focus. They don't take enough. Again, it's just not taking enough time and care and paying attention to really trim your writing down to the essential message. You know, you need to be economical with words. I hate to use this, but I'm going to say it. Trim the fat, make your writing lean and powerful.
Mm-hmm.
There was a wonderful scene in the movie, and also therefore in the book, A River Runs Through It, where the father, right? The son brings him something that he's written. The father looks at it, crosses a few things out, and says, cut it in half and write it again. I mean, any good editor will tell you that most of their job is eliminating words, not, you know, changing them. And I think that that is an important lesson. The ones who ramble on and on, I don't care what they're saying, they bore me. So
Yeah, I agree.
I won't ramble. Enough said.
You're pretty funny. Okay, the ego has landed. Don't fall into the trap of making your posts all about you. I hate to break it to you, but it's not all about you at all. Your readers aren't interested in you. They're interested in helpful, timely advice, innovative solutions, and entertaining stories with some extra inspiration and motivation for good measure. Your blog doesn't exist so you can share pointless personal stories about your cat. You had, or what you, you know, you had pasta for dinner. I mean, who cares? You've had a migraine all week and your partner, kid mom, is driving you crazy. Whatever. If your story doesn't have a point directly related to the message you're trying to deliver, please save us the detail. Cater to your readers or you won't have any. I love this. There is like, this is like this most direct approach with this writer, and I love it. Work hard to understand them, know them, know what keeps them awake at night. Now go and write for them. I shared on this show, I believe it was, Margaret, you can correct me if I'm wrong, the struggles I'm dealing with parenting my parents for the first time, and about my mom with her early Alzheimer's that I will tell you in the last month has progressed more than in the last 2 years. And I heard from so many people, and they were like, oh my gosh, thank you so, and I was like, wow, you know, I just mentioned it because at the time, you know, it's, as anyone that's gone through this knows, it's the most difficult thing probably you'll have dealt with yet, and it was amazing, and I wouldn't write a blog post about it, but just mentioning it, I was blown away at how many people took the time to email me and say, I'm going through this, and it was really, really interesting. So just
keeping it
be careful.
Personal.
Yeah.
All right. This is, again, this plays right off of you, this next tip. And this is not even a tip. This is a mistake folks make, and that is to not infuse your personality into the content. So there's a flip side to that advice in the previous point, which, you know, we just said, you know, the ego has landed. There's some people that write only about themselves. Another mistake is to never write about yourself. I mean, we wouldn't want you to remove all of your personality from your posts. I mean, that would make it bland. You know, you want to put some relevant stories or, you know, a funny phrase or some personal touches, but just sort of be judicious. It's sort of like cooking. You know, you don't want to overspice it, nor do you want to leave out the salt, right? You've got to sort of figure this out. Sprinkle a little of these bits of yourself into your writing. You know, talk about what the audience is interested in, but do it in your own way. And I understand this is a really fine balance since it can't be all about you, but we don't want you to disappear completely. I think for me, what works here is keeping it short because it's easier to, you know, kind of keep tabs on what it is you're trying to say. You can share stories and experiences, but you can still have in your mind the notion that you're trying to focus on the needs. I guess that's the best way to say it, the needs of your readers. You know, the biggest sin on the internet is to be boring. So whatever you do, don't be guilty of that or you will just be forgotten. You'll have your sister-in-law reading your blog and she will comment personally, I can tell
or
you.
Or your
that.
Child and he'll tell you, Mom,
oh, yes.
We're out of ice cream. Yeah, that story. No, but there's a difference between allowing your personality in the blog and talking about yourself. Allowing your personality is if you have humor. If you and what I try to do in my blog is I try to talk like I'm talking out loud. And I actually probably do talk out loud when I'm typing because I think it's important to do that because that's how you're going to get more of your personality in there.
Mm.
And that's a really great point.
You know,
okay.
I wanted to add one thing in, which is I think the all-time blog hero is the Pioneer Woman, you know, Ree, and she gets 26 million visits a month. And if we can wrap our brains around that, it's a miracle. But you've got to acknowledge that this woman is writing and posting something that a whole lot of folks are reading. And when she talks about what makes a blog successful, she says for her it's simple. She just writes as if she's talking to her sister.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I think
that's great.
That's sort of a nice notion to have maybe in your head someone that you're addressing your blog to.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah.
That's great. Okay. The next one mistake is preaching from the pulpit. If you're talking to your sister, you'd never do this. And maybe using complicated sentences.
I am the oldest.
Okay, never mind. Maybe using complicated sentence structure and generally showing off your God-given writing talents makes you feel important and superior, but you don't want to come off as if you're delivering your Ten Commandments from the high to your lowly, unworthy followers. And people hate that. If you want your audience to like and trust you, you need to understand that you are the servant, not the master.
Mm-hmm.
Write with a little humility and people will love you for it. And that is, you know, when you make a mistake, share that mistake and what you learned. And some people are like, no way. But that's really important. Really, really important.
Now so I have to laugh. I just thought of another parallel here. The Pioneer Woman also says that if you write and there's a typo or a misspelling, she said people will write to you and tell you about it. And she said, you know what you do? You thank them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And I think that's so great.
And that's one that you're going to talk about, but when
right.
you, about getting defensive. No, 100%.
No kidding.
I have people all the time. Because, not anymore because now I cut and paste. The spell checker in Weebly, I have to say, is the one thing that just isn't quite to the level it needs to be. And
okay.
I now cut and paste and put it into Word. And anytime I see that little something highlighted, I go in and fix it. Yeah, because they're right. It's ridiculous. I shouldn't have typos. That's ridiculous. So
it happens. It happens to everyone. I know.
Yeah.
All right, next mistake. This is a great way of phrasing it. So, you think you're funny, huh? And you think everyone needs to know it, but chances are your readers have a different sense of humor from yours. Maybe they're in a serious mood today, or maybe they're even anxious or worried. It takes a great writer to express sarcasm and wit. If you try too hard, you're going to come across as insensitive or downright rude. So here's the advice straight from Smart Blogger. If you're unsure, don't use humor.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, good advice.
Number 11, and I'm guilty of this, Are you ignoring the opposite sex? Are you speaking to both sexes? I can promise you I'm always in my mind speaking to women.
Ooh.
And so smart blogger wrote, my name's Chris. Could be a guy, could be a gal. Can you tell? If you're a guy, you might be coming across as a red-blooded, burger-eating, beer-swilling blogger. Or if a gal, and when you write, boy, do you love talking about your incredible multitasking skills, your darling but time-consuming kids, and you're oh so busy and hardly ever their husband. Chances are you're alienating half your audience. Be sure to accommodate all of your audience. Include, don't exclude. This obviously leads to comments about political things happening wherever in the world. If you do decide to anywhere talk about the political issues, and there's so much to talk about right now in our country, please note you will always exclude about half your audience. And you have to decide if that's what you want to do. So I've said that over and over and over. And I probably, I'm sorry, unfriended 20 people during this last election who were extreme on either side, because
I just got tired of it.
You know what?
You just
I didn't like either candidate that was running, to be perfectly honest. So it was just too much. And there were some people who mentioned some things in their blog. And you can mention that it's a tough time that everybody's going through right now. But you know what? Be careful. I wouldn't even open that door.
I agree with you. People are not coming to your blog to read your political views. That belongs somewhere else. If you're blogging about your life as an artist or art or whatever, keep it to that, because
all
right.
So
well,
true.
To get back to my favorite topic, the mistake of getting defensive, and that means that you're the person who's just published your blog post, and then the inevitable happens. Some fool dares to add her own thoughts and advice, and she doesn't agree with what you wrote. I don't know how this will make you feel. Maybe you'll feel a little inadequate, but you think, how dare she show me up in public? And so then you start responding, thanks for your great comments, Sam, or whatever her name may be. You clearly have a great point, but in reclaiming the high ground, you just made Sam feel silly. I mean, here's the thing. The rest of your audience doesn't want to be deciding who they're rooting for.
Right.
You don't want to look like a victim. You don't want to look like a bossy meanie. You know, the best approach is, before you write the word but, just stop. Be accommodating. Don't use but, use and, or start a new sentence and add, the negative comments just as they added to your ideas. You can add to theirs. You can defend your thoughts if you really want to engage, but, you get a lot more flies with honey, right? Don't be rude. Don't try to, win the round by scoring more points. And I think it's really important not to be so sensitive. Everyone's entitled to an opinion. When your readers offer you sort of help and advice, just like Ree Drummond said, if they tell her she's made a typo or a grammar error, just thank them. Thank them. She actually says, thank them and thank God for the day they were born. Do whatever you need to say.
But
you really always, I think, want to take the high ground. You know, engaging in a scuffle doesn't benefit everyone. Just be gracious and then keep writing. That's
and
the
you
name
know what?
Of the game.
Sometimes you don't need to comment because your readers will comment for you. If it's really bad,
nice.
If it's really bad and it's really hurting, you can delete the comment if you want. But I would let the person know that you deleted the comment. You can also approve your comments in advance if you want. But really, if someone writes something that's pretty downright mean or just whatever, if you wait a while before you comment, a lot of times your readers will comment for you. And that's awesome. It's a really great way to
let other people defend
you. And then you can come in and say, gosh, everyone, thank you so much for all of your comments. I really appreciate it. And you could be referring to the original comment and the other comments too. But that's kind of the high road.
That's good. I think
yeah.
the high road is the one to stay on.
Oh, I completely mm-hmm. agree. Yeah, no. So I think this has been a really great show. It's just a wonderful way for everybody to kind of reconsider this blogging idea. And the first thing I would do, if you're either bored with your blog or thinking about doing one, is do a little shopping, if you will, on the internet and look at mm-hmm. blogs that you think you would want to follow, and then think about, why are these so successful? Why do I want to read these every day? And learn from the people that you admire, and look at look at their message, look at what they do. Are they all full of ads, which quite honestly on my phone drives me completely insane.
Yes.
When I can't even read the content because there's so many ads. And I think what people don't realize when they have a blog is on the computer, the ads may all be over at the right-hand side, but when you're on your phone, they're buried in the middle. And
smack in the middle.
Oh, and they're so obnoxious. A few ads is fine. I totally get that, but man, it's really frustrating. So
yes.
I just think it's really important to think about it, because it is a great way to talk about what you're doing and share more about you and build your audience 100-fold. So
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
I'm getting back on the treadmill. You can hold me to it.
Sure you are. No, I'm kidding.
I'm going to do it right now.
Well,
while I'm
that's
fired
awesome.
Up and inspired. All right.
Yeah.
Well.
And I just think that we all are in a place that's, we've got some really great opportunities out there, and this is super fun. So thank you, Margaret, once again.
Thank you. It was a great one. I'm taking this to heart, Leslie. All right. Good luck with your meeting.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.